Somebody warned them that we were coming. The sympathizers left nothing behind but an empty apartment and a few volumes of illegal verse. A half-eaten meal, ransacked drawers. They'd scrambled together what little they could carry and fled east into the misery. Back when I wore a uniform, the marshal told me only three kinds of people willingly enter the misery. The desperate, the stupid, and the greedy. The sympathizers were desperate enough. I gathered a dozen stupid, greedy men and set out to kill them. We left Valengrad on an afternoon that stank of drains, regret, and the end of another bad summer. The money didn't justify the risk, but hunting men was what I did, and I didn't intend to allow our quarry to get far. Half the rabble I'd raised hadn't been out in the misery before. They were practically shitting themselves when we headed out through the city's narrow gate. Within a mile, they were asking about gillings and dulchers. 2 miles out, and one of them began to cry. My old-timers laughed, reminded him we'd be back before dark. 3 days later, the assholes were somehow still ahead of us. Nobody was laughing anymore. "They made for Dust Gorge," Tanota said. He fiddled with the dials on his astrolabe, held it up to eye the distance between the moons. "Told you they would. Didn't I tell you that, Captain?" "Like balls you did," he had. The footprints in the grit were proving him right. "I sure did," Tanota grinned at me, mustard yellow teeth stark in his treacle-dark face. "I remember. You came into the bar with the papers and I said, I bet they make for the gorge. Figure that earns me an extra share." "Even if this job paid well enough for extra shares, you still wouldn't get one. And it doesn't," I said. "Not my fault. I don't pick the jobs," Tanota said. "That's the first time you've been right today. Now keep quiet and plot us a course." Tanota raised the glass eyepiece towards skies the colour of a week-old bruise. Dirty golds, hints of green, torn purples, and ugly blood browns merged together, an easel of ruptured fluids and broken capillaries. He counted on his fingers, traced an invisible line from one moon to the next. The cracks in the sky were quiet, barely a whisper passing through the banks of restless cloud. "Everything in the misery is broken. Everything is wrong. The sooner we shot the bastards and were heading back west, the happier I would be." We rode through banks of grit and sand, the rock black and red and drier than salt. Something rises up from the misery. You can feel it all the while, like air, but it's your enemy rather than your friend. It soaks into you, gets into your gums, until you can taste the poison. I just hoped it'd be over soon. 3 days into the misery, cutting south and east over black sands, we found the remains of their stolen horse. Whatever had torn its legs off, the sympathizers we were hunting had done the smart thing. They'd left the horse to its fate and run. A temporary respite, since they couldn't outrun us now. I could read relief in the way the men sat in their saddles. We'd have a pair of heads bagged and slung by sundown, be heading back towards what passes for civilization along the border. I took my flask from my coat and shook it. Not the first time I'd done that. It remained as empty as it had been on the last three occasions. Since I was out of brandy, that meant we only had small beer to drink, and not a great deal of that. The misery is dangerous for groups of heavily armed soldiers. That a pair of untrained, unprepared, and unarmed civilians had stayed alive and ahead of us for 3 days was enough to give me nerves. Another reason to get this over with as quickly as possible. The sand rode a trail clear to see. Ahead of us lay Dust Gorge, a narrow fissure in the earth. The gash cut through the landscape of shifting dunes, caustic sand, and brittle stones. The lightning bolt corridor mirrored one of the rents in the sky. The split in the earth, a reflection of the damage in the heavens.